Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Wisdom Chat. And my guest today is Sunny Kermit, who is a Chartered Associate of London Institute of Banking and Finance, dealing with all things financial. Sunny, I know that you work with like self-employed, employed, legal professionals around their finances. Sunny, tell us a little bit about that work. What does it actually entail?
Hi, yeah, good morning, Phil. Thank you for the opportunity, first of all. What does it entail? It's, in simple terms, it's making people's life easier. You know, we live in a world where you don't know what you don't know. And it's my responsibility and my job to educate the people that I sit down with, my clients, in regards to all the options they have here. You know, in terms of the financial world and what it means to them and their family. I'm there to be part of their family to make sure that they are making all the quote unquote right options for them now, but also in the future.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And you say in there about education, and I know another passion of yours, because we've talked about this, is the education of young people, financial education in schools. And I know, and talking with other people, we often refer to the fact that schools don't seem to address this area of financial education, financial well-being, and therefore the next generations are not really fully prepared for the big wide world. Is that kind of a true reflection that you see, Sunny?
Yes, most definitely. Within COVID, I became accredited to deliver financial education and financial wellbeing, and that's in schools and workplace. The biggest struggle for myself has been actually getting into schools and delivering the financial education part. Now, that could be playing games with people, you know, above the age of 8, or it's actually doing, you know, mini workshops for the people that are a little bit older. But I've actually been not that successful in getting into schools. Not entirely sure why. I'd say, you know, COVID would be a good example of why it's been prolonged, but I don't understand why they wouldn't want a professional come in and speak to their students to educate them on finance. It's such an important part of living and life.
It is. The thing is, I do know that schools will invite sort of some of the big high street banks in, Barclays, HSBC. I've known of them having sort of educational programs in school. And I don't decry that in any way. However, at the end of the day, their objective is to prepare the next generation to be their customers. And I personally think this is an area that should be independent, and it would be far better for people like you and I, who are not going in to sell anything or to promote any one thing, but really to equip and educate young people so they can make their own choices. You know, there's that saying, isn't there, you know, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, teach a man to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. And that's what we want to do with our younger generation, is actually teach them the skills and the knowledge they need to be able to make well-informed decisions for themselves going forward, not decisions that have been funneled down a particular route. I might be being a bit harsh to the banks by saying that. However, it's always got their branding on and that connotation. I mean, you say it's difficult to get into schools. Is it because schools are a little bit reticent of bringing people in that maybe to them a little bit unknown, whereas a bank is more known? What do you think to that?
Yeah, no. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I certainly do. I mean, the last conversation I had was with one of my previous schools at the secondary school. And I mentioned about coming in, you know, free of charge, of course. And just speaking with the students, especially the people that are, you know, 15, 16 and looking to go to further education college or sit form about finance, I know from my own experience, there was a lack of that when I was growing up. So I definitely think it's important. I think, yes, if I was like the HSBCs, the Lloyds and the NatWest or whatever it may be, I think it would be a lot easier because people can resonate with the banks, but not yeah. everyone can resonate with, i.e. SK Wealth Solutions, for example. Who is that? What is that, if that makes sense?
Yeah, yeah, it does. And I think in some respects, you know, I could be in the same sort of boat as yourself, in so much as who is Aurum Gold? And yet the intention is to support the schools and support the students so that they're better prepared when they go on to university. You know, I've got three daughters and two of my daughters went to university. Nobody really, apart from myself and my wife, sat down with them and spoke to them about things like their student finances and what they would need to do when they're managing their own money away from home in student residence. And had it not been for my wife and I, then they would have not been equipped. And we observed so many students just literally blowing their finances in a short period of time. I often say to people, do you find you've got more month than money? In their case, it was more term than finance. But that was our experience with my daughters going to university. And I would imagine that there are many parents around who are sort of wondering why there isn't a level of financial education in schools. The schools are, and even government, whoever, might turn around and say, well, parents should be doing this. But you said, you alluded to this earlier, Sonny, when you said you don't know what you don't know. That's and right. I find parents don't always know, how can I teach my children the right way to handle their finances, because they only know what they know. And may feel themselves ill-equipped.
No, spot on. Again, it's that theory of nature and nurture as well. So as children, especially when we're younger, we may get taught that the best thing to do is save all your money.
Mm.
If you had all your money in your bank account right now, you know, we've got inflation at 9%.
Yeah.
May not be the best advice, right? No. Again, it's horses... for courses here in this sense, it depends on what you're looking to achieve and why you're looking to achieve it, why you may need that money in cash, which is fine. Of course, we need cash, it's liquid. But in regards to parents, they have a typically hard job, I'd say, you know, bringing up children, potentially, you know, both sets of parents working. We see that a lot more nowadays than we did, you know, years ago, of course.
Yeah.
And complex family situations. You know, the at the moment we may have single parents, for example, or one ill yeah. parent. There's so many different variables. We just don't know the family situation. Yeah. And with that in mind, you know, finances, of course, we've got a passion for it. And, you know, we speak about it probably every day of our lives. And, you know, you've done a great job, you and your wife, you know, sitting down with your daughters in regards to university and the finance element. But I've got people in my family that have gone to university, and the way that their parents, which are like my auntie, uncles, cousins, and whatever else, they look at, you know, go enjoy life. You know, yeah. this is one big party. And again, it was their mindset. Yeah. It's their mind frame. And that's what they cascading down. So, you know, yeah. when their children go to university, they're thinking, you know, I don't need to save, or I don't need to invest, or I don't need to budget, because, well, I'll just go back to my mum and dad, or my mum or my dad, or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
To help me if I run out of money.
The bank of mum and dad. Do you know, Sonny, when you were saying what you're saying just then, I was reminded of when I first started work, somebody was talking to me about pensions, and I was thinking, why do I need to have to worry about pensions now? I'm not old. That's for, you know, years later. And it's the perception I had that I don't need to plan for it now. And yet, actually, the best course of action that anyone could do is to plan for their pension as early as possible. So we know that. But I was also thinking about a story of a client. I'll call this one, it's not their real name, Spontaneous Gina. And Gina, her story actually starts with a grandmother who in her time grew up in a very, very poor household. They literally couldn't afford much at all apart from a roof over their head and food on the table. So they were living in extreme poverty, and she never had any toys or anything like that. And then as she grew up and she had a child, she had a daughter, and her life became a little bit more easier, but she couldn't really give her daughter all the things she'd really like to give. So years forward, Gina's born, and Grandma now decides, I'm going to make sure that Gina doesn't have to experience what I experience. I'm going to make sure she knows she's special, and I'm going to, you know, help and contribute and give her things that she I couldn't have when I was a child. And Gina's grandmother, her mother, both of them together, thought it was great how Gina was being looked after and cared for by them both. The thing is with Gina was that she grew up with the idea that she was special, that she had no need for anything or didn't want for anything. And she would go on shopping sprees because she just knew the money was there. Her grandmother would put money into the bank. And so she just came to the point of assuming it would be there. Nobody taught her about it till the day when her grandmother passed away and Gina was still finishing her sort of uni. And when she finished, the first job that she applied for, they did a credit check and they found that she'd racked up an awful lot of debt because she kept living that lifestyle as though her grandmother was still there and still contributing. And it didn't occur to her that she couldn't do that. So she'd racked up all this debt and the company decided, well, if you're going to be irresponsible that way, you could well be irresponsible in the company. So they didn't give her the job. And suddenly it was a nasty wake-up call. And I remember just very quickly one other story, and it was a chief financial officer of a company managing millions of pounds for the business, had a huge team of people doing all the accounts and working under him. When he came home, he didn't manage his own finances in that way. His bank account was very healthy, by the way, but he didn't manage his own finances. And he felt really guilty and ashamed that he wasn't doing that. And so therefore, he wouldn't talk to his children about finances. And you think in both those situations, you know, one has been really looked after and made to feel special, and you don't want to take that away from them. However, at the same time, they needed some education on the true value of money and how you manage it. Likewise, with the chief financial officer needs to be able to talk to his children about how best to manage their finances and not be ashamed about the fact that he hasn't done the same at home as he does at work. It's a bit like a busman's holiday, really, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, do you know what? Thank you for sharing these stories. And in my day-to-day life, you know, part of my job is sitting down with individuals with a blank piece of paper and a pen and understanding, you know, what is it they're trying to achieve and why is it so important to them? What happens if they don't achieve it? And then I assist them, right? But the story that you said about like the chief financial officer, I see this regularly. Yeah. I see people in their job, phenomenal, amazing workers. They know it inside out. They're top performers, whatever it may be. And, you know, they earn quite well. But then they come home and it's very different. They're used to the lifestyle of, you know, I'm getting paid X amount each month. Complacent might be another word for it. I'm not too sure. You know, being a bit naive about what the future can hold. Of course, no one expected, for example, COVID, and that came. And look what that's done to businesses. And even families and couples and individuals and their finances, of course. And, you know, I'm not saying that we could have mitigated that or even, but we could have planned. You know, you could have a great plan in there that could have helped You know, when you're in that situation, where negative situation, I say. But yeah, no, I do see that quite often, the fact that people are doing very well at work, you know, they get paid, you know, quite well. They're quite modest, quite happy. They're not in poverty. They've got a roof over their head, food on the table, clean clothes to wear. You know, they can go out, you know, a couple of times a month and, you know, go on holidays. But they don't have no real plan in place, should I say, plan in place to actually achieve what they want to achieve. When we sit down, they'll go, you know, I want to pay, for example, my kids to go to university, or, you know, marriage, or whatever it may be. It's, if they've got children, it typically is around their children. Now, I fully understand that. But then when I ask them, you know, what have you done to make sure that you can pay for your children's university or mortgage or first property or whatever else? And it's silence.
Yeah, it's interesting that, isn't it? They say that most of us will have formed our own sort of beliefs and understanding about things in life, such as money and relationships and so on, by the age of about 7. Mm-hmm. And very often that is in our unconscious sort of thinking. So we tend to find that we behave, but we don't realise where that behaviour is coming from and why we think the way we do. And I found with some of these people, they've held on to certain beliefs that quite often for some of them are disempowering. So maybe with this chief financial officer, he, as he walks into the home environment, itself is a trigger that puts him back into a disempowered place. And maybe that stems from something from his childhood and his upbringing and his experiences in life with finances that almost put a barrier there to him exercising the same principles that he exercises at work, but exercising them at home. And I just wonder how many other people we think that we need to be a society of savers. This is what we're being told all the time. But have you ever tried saving for no apparent purpose? It's hard, you know, and if you're easily swayed because you've seen something that, you know, I like technology. So if I see something, you know, it's very easy to be swayed. If you've not got a purpose, if you've not got your, like, your financial goals, and like you were saying, Sonny, you know, you when you're talking with them and it's sort of, what are your plans, and it kind of blank, or they might have some ideas but they have no idea how they're going to achieve it, and hence why they're coming to you. But I think there's lots of other things going on in the background, and sometimes, like you said earlier on, you're talking to your clients, you get to learn about their background and their dreams and aspirations, whether they're realistic or not, whether they just have to refine them a little bit because of their circumstances, or what do they need to do to actually realise those dreams and ambitions. But also at the same time, you'll probably pick up there's some other things going on that are like triggers from the past that cause them to have a certain belief which they don't even realise they've got.
Yeah, definitely, most definitely. I think the other thing here is a reality check.
Yeah.
When you replay the words that they've said to you, so they can hear what they've said to me back, that's quite good. That's quite good in the sense that it's very powerful, in the sense that, you know, just to clarify, Phil, you know, you just mentioned X, Y, and Z. Have I got that correct? And they think about it, and that's brilliant, because that was probably never been done before. Never been done before. Someone replay their own words, and, you know, and for them to then be listening rather than speaking.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's certainly helpful in terms of, like you say, bringing a reality check to the situation. Sonny, I'm aware that time has passed us by. I know we could talk about this for a long time and explore lots of different avenues. But at the end of the day, we just know that unless we help the next generations and equip them with the knowledge and the skills to manage life, manage finances, manage relationships, we're not helping them at all. And we're ever going to do is perpetuate the same old, aren't we, in terms of behaviours. And, 10 years hence, we'll still be saying the same thing unless we can actually deal with it at the grassroots. And I think most people would actually agree with us on that. We really do need to help educate our younger generations on how to better handle their finances. So if people want to chat with you about the work that you do, how would they get hold of you?
So the best way to get hold of me would be my website. So that's www.skwealthsolutions. That's with the S at the end, .co.uk. The other one would be Google my business. So you can put myself into Google. You'll find my business. You also have my telephone number. But I will, just for the record, give my telephone number, which is 07931 504807. So yeah, my website, Google my business, and then you've got my number. That'll probably be the best way of actually communicating with me or getting hold of me.
Brilliant. Sunny, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. I wish you all the best for the rest of the day. You take care.
Thank you ever so much, Phil. Have a great one.
Thank you.